13 to 21, the emphasis was be holy, live a holy life. You should be different. You should not live like the other people. Live a different life. Don't copy or don't imitate the past. Left. Past way of life. Be holy. Now 22, 2 or 2, 3. The emphasis is. What is the emphasis? Little hard to understand. When you take the whole passage, those 7 verses together, I believe the emphasis is on, we find here, there in the end of verse 2, that is chapter 2, verse 2, you may grow thereby. Growth, spiritual growth is the emphasis. He says, you may grow, be a growing Christian. Be holy, earlier he said. Now he says, you should be a growing Christian. Now we all know very well the difference between growth and an abnormal growth. When you meet a child, we all rejoice. It's a delight. We rejoice at the presence of a child. It's a joyful thing to see a little child. But you go to that house maybe after 5 years or 10 years, still in the same condition, it's a sad thing. Very sorry. So Apostle Paul, for Peter, he says, you should be growing. In the end of this epistle again, he will say that. Grow in the grace of the Lord. So believers should be growing. We should grow in our day-to-day Christian life. Now you know that in Apostle Peter, sorry, Paul, in Corinthians 1, Corinthians 3, he rebukes them. For what? You are babes. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, writer says, you are still babe. You need milk even now. So now growth is essential. We all expect a normal growth. Similarly, in spiritual life, there should be a natural, normal growth in our Christian life since we have been born again. Now, Apostle Peter gives 3 features of a growing Christian. 3 features. What are the features or the qualities of a Christian who is growing? Who is a growing Christian? Who is a Christian who goes, who is keep on growing his day by day life? He gives 3 things. And in between that, along with those 3 things, he also gives the motivating factors for those 3 things. Okay? 3 things are the features of growing Christian. We'll go to the first one. Along with those 3 things, he will also say, what should force you to live like that? In other words, what's the first one? See, the first one we see in verse 22. In the end of 22. Maybe I'll read that again. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another. So that is the quality, that is the feature of a growing Christian. Love one another. Very simple thing. We all know it very well, love. I don't need to say anything more on that. But we only focus on what Apostle Peter says. We are not going to the other portions that Apostle Paul or somebody else writes in the other passages. What kind of love? You see verse that same verse itself, we can see four things, he says, four things about our love for one another. If you are growing Christians, if you are getting mature in our Christian life, we will love one another. And that love for one another will have four qualities. See, number one. What is the first one? Unfeigned love or sincere love. It's the same verse itself. In sincere love. Unfeigned love. What is unfeigned love? Unfeigned love means, sincere love means true love. Not a show. Not an acting. Not showing that we have. Not hypocritical love. We do have such love. I don't need to explain. And secondly, the second quality of the love of a growing Christian, brotherly love. Brotherly love means, it is written there, love of the brethren. It doesn't say that love like the brethren, love of the brethren. The same way brothers of a family will love each other because we belong to one father, one son. We belong to one family, their affection for each other, their relationship with one with each other. So Peter says, your love as a Christian should love us, not us actually, your love should be brotherly love. Love of a family. And the third thing, that is fervent love. Fervent love means one another fervently. What is fervently means? Among our translation, love deeply. Love deeply. Our love for one another should be love coming from the depth. Or in other words, it should be, with intensity. It should not be half-hearted, cold. How can we know that somebody loves us? It's from the response. See, my intention is not to go on everything about love. I told you, I will speak on only Peter. So Peter says, your love for one another should be fervent, that means it should not be just half-hearted for namesake, it should not be cold, it should not be indifferent, it should be forceful, loving or expressing that love, reacting to that love or responding in love in such a manner, it is so forceful, so much coming out with much intensity. And fourth, what is the fourth quality of that love? Growing Christian's love for one another. Can you find it out? In the end of that verse, it is written there, we say, pure heart. With a pure heart means, maybe the idea, I don't know, there should not be any evil in your heart. Maybe like that. But I think another explanation is a little more interesting. With a pure heart means, love should come from a healthy heart. You know that a healthy heart will beat spontaneously. You don't need to tell the heart to beat. It takes place automatically. So when the heart is healthy, blood will flow from that healthy heart spontaneously, automatically. Heart will beat automatically. So Apostle Peter says, love from a Christian should flow as if it is coming from a healthy heart, spontaneous, plainly, without an alteration. Love from a healthy heart. Love flowing from a healthy Christian heart. Four qualities of Christians. Love for one another. Do they have such love? Very easy to say these things. But do we have such love? We need to examine. Such, you know, forceful love, flowing love, fervent love, sincere love, no hypocrisy. We need such love. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the best portion where we need to go to examine our love. Paul says what love will do and what love will not. I'm not going there. Now Apostle Peter says, why is it essential that a Christian who is growing, who is mature in his Christian life, who is growing in his Christian life, should love one another? What should force into love? Why is it necessary that there should be love in a Christian's life? He says two things there. Two reasons are for this. What is the first one? In the beginning of verse 22. Since you have purified your souls. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto sincere love. So what is the reason why there should be love, such love for one another in a Christian's life? For Peter says, because you have purified your heart. Now what does it mean? What is the relation between purification, purified life and a loving life? I believe here Apostle Peter refers to their salvation. Notice carefully. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obeying the truth speaks of the day they heard the gospel. In the end of that portion, 25, end of 25. This is the word where the gospel was preached to you. When the word came to you, the gospel truth, the truth of the gospel came to you, you believed it, you obeyed it, and when you obeyed the gospel truth, what God did? God purified you. God cleansed you. God made in your own. God gave you a new life. Coming there. So first of all, he says, you have purified. Now, we know that when Apostle Peter says, you have purified, it doesn't mean they purified themselves. We know the Bible says, they can't purify ourselves. It is the word of God. God alone does it. But what they have done is, they have gone to the Lord. When they heard the gospel, they went, they heard the truth, and they obeyed the truth. They believed it. They did. They accepted it, and they did whatever the word told them to. And then it was the Lord who cleansed them by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Apostle Peter says, because you have been cleansed, purified, now what you should do? Because you obeyed the truth, God has purified you. For what? Very clearly, in NKJV it's not that much clear, but in KJV it is more clear. No, unto, God has purified you unto sincere love. In other words, it should be the natural result. God has made you his own. God has converted you. Or you got that new life. You are being purified unto love. Now my question is, or we have to consider, what is the connection between purification and love? What is the connection between purification and love? Now go straight. You know, understand. I can. See, in John's Gospel 14, verse 23, the Lord said, if you love me, what you will do? You will obey my voice. In chapter 14, we read that. So here Apostle Peter says, you obey the truth. He obeys the truth that is an evidence that you love God. And God has purified your heart. Now if you love God, then it is the normal, natural result that you love one another. So loving God, loving one another, it should go together, hand in hand, side by side. You love God, so you obey the truth, and God has cleansed you. Now you need to show that experience in your love for one another. If you don't love one another, that means you don't love God. That means you don't obey God. That means God has not purified you. Your heart is not clean, so even now. So that is the first thing Apostle Paul, sorry, Peter says, why there should be love in your heart? Because you have been purified. So this is a very simple, clear principle. Our relation with man depends upon our relation with God. When you read 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, we have no time to quote. John says, I write these things to you. Why? That we may have fellowship together. Then he says, our fellowship is with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. So that when you read carefully, John refers to the same idea. I write these things to you, that we may have fellowship together. Our fellowship is with God. That means I write these things to you. When you have fellowship with God, just that we have fellowship with God, then you have fellowship together. Our relationship with one another depends upon our relationship with God. If we obey God, if we love God, if God has purified us, it will be easy for us to relate with each other. If we face difficulty in dealing with people, that means we have difficulty with God. When we have got difficulty with God, we will not find it difficult to deal with people. Easily we can deal with people. So that's what Apostle Peter says here, because God has purified you unto unfeigned, sincere, fervent love that should come from your heart. One more thing we say. Another reason why you should be able to love one another. What is that? That is in verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. A lot of things are there, I'm sure. But the main idea that Apostle Peter says is this. You have been born again. God has given you new life. Now, you know, be careful. What is the message that Apostle Peter wants to convey there? Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides for us. Then he was on to explain, the word from Isaiah, all flesh is of grass. So what Apostle Peter wants to say is this. You have a new life. Not only God purified your heart when you obey the truth, God has given you a new life. And that new life you got from where? From or through the word of God. And what is the quality or what is the nature of the word of God? He says it is incorruptible seed. These seed which are perishable seed. Perishable seed will produce perishable life. But your life does not come from a perishable seed. Incorruptible seed, the word of God, which has life, and that life will never die, and that life will abide forever. You have been born again with the word of God that has eternal life, that life will never end. So your love for one another should continue, because you have a new life that will never end. In other words, you have the resource within you that can help you to love one another. Love one another because God has purified you. Love one another because you have new life within you, which is imperishable, incorruptible. That is the idea that Apostle Peter says. All and everything else will perish. Whether grass or flesh or man, whatever it may be, all the glory of man will fade, perish. The word of God abides forever, forever. Okay, now the second thing what they should do after oil. So that is the first thing. A growing Christian, 22-23, he says, you be a growing Christian, and a growing Christian, what you should be doing? Love one another. Because God has purified you, because God has given you a new life. Now, the second thing, what is the second thing that they should do? Now, we have completed those verses. Up to 25. Now chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore, it's all connected together. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, what they should be doing are growing mature Christians, healthy Christians. What should be there? Nature, what should be their, you know, feature. They should lay aside all evil or get rid of evil. Now there is a question. There should be a natural question. Yesterday while ago, that means verse 22, we read that God has purified them. Then why is the question of getting rid of evil? God has purified them. They obeyed the truth. God has purified them. And Apostle Peter admits that. He says, God has purified you. You obeyed the truth. Now here he says in verse 2, chapter 2 verse 1, you should get rid of certain evil things. So what is it? How can we understand? In one verse he said, God has purified. In the other verse he says, you need to get rid of certain evil things. So even after purifying them, do they have evil in their life? Huh? Yes. Otherwise Peter should be saying something wrong. How can we understand that? Because the Bible says, we must remember in 22, you have purified. It's a complete action. It's a final action. It's a perfect action. God has purified them. I told you, that has to do with the day when they came to the Lord, listened to the gospel, obeyed the gospel, and the Lord saved them, purified them, cleansed them, made them his own. And the effect of that action will never finish. It's continuing. God has purified them. God has cleansed them for once for all. That is true. At the same time, the Bible teaches, in our day-to-day Christian life, we need practical cleansing. We need practical cleansing. That's what we see in second, for example, in 2 Corinthians 7, one apostle Paul also saying the similar passage there. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. The other day we referred to that aspect, imputed holiness, then imparted holiness, perfect holiness, that will come in future. Day by day, we need cleansing. See, this aspect is illustrated very clearly in where? In John 13. What do we read there? The Lord Jesus Christ, He began to wash the feet of the disciples. Peter said, Lord, you should not wash my feet. What was the Lord's reply? If I don't wash you, you have no fellowship with me. Then Peter said, Lord, you wash my feet, wash myself wholly, completely, give me a bath. Then the Lord said, you have already a bath. You need only cleansing. Similar. And that's a very good illustration. In our Christian life, it is true. Being born again, we have been purified, cleansed. We belong to God. God has purified us forever and ever. We are saints indeed. That also is true. At the same time, day by day, in day-to-day life, evil may come and we need to cleanse. And what we need to do? We should go to the Lord, confessing our sins and examining our heart. As I told you, this is a particular time, season. Once in a while, look back to your days, last week, past days. Examine, Lord, you examine my sin. Search me, try me. If there is any evil, tell me and cleanse me. We need to say that, we need to do that. So that's what Apostle Peter says, you need to get rid of evil deeds. Now here in Apostle Peter refers to such evil that will affect our relationship with one another. Notice that thing. Now because Peter was telling about loving one another. Now here those things that Apostle Peter wants them to get rid of, all those things refers to, or all those things are affecting our relationship with one another. What are those things? Just see, notice carefully. First of all, malice. What is malice? Believers should get rid of malice. Malice means, that is, evil thoughts. Or evil thoughts means evil thoughts about somebody. Not just evil thoughts. Evil thoughts against a person. Against another person. But secretly we hope something evil for a person. Something evil about a person. Malice. Old malice. Then secondly, deceit. Old deceit. Deceit we know very well. Treachery. All kinds of hidden motives. Now, a lot of people today, we need to fear very much today, nowadays. Somebody will call you over the telephone, you should be very careful. Many are deceiving others with a recorder, because we have all the facilities today to record any conversation. We should be very careful. Deceit. There are believers who do that. Believers who do that. And they will say the same thing that how they have deceived someone else. They will declare it in our occasion. They have to remember that listeners will understand or judge him. They will understand that this is the way he is going to behave with us also. Deception. There are many Germany. So Apostle Peter says, you should lay aside deceit, any form of dishonesty with one another. Then, what is the third thing? Hypocrisy. Acting. Sweet words. But nothing is inside. And they need us, oh, one another. But let us leave from that place. Before somebody else, they will criticize us. They will speak against us. Hypocrisy. No love, no sincere love. Peter says, lay it aside. Now, then what else? Envy. Envy means? Envy means they're not happy to see somebody be progressing. I don't have, I have no problem. But he also should not have it. If he has, but I don't have, I'm not happy with that. Envy. Then last, Paul Peter says, evil speaking. All evil speaking. Evil speaking means slander or, it's called character assassination. We kill somebody with words. We use words or we spread news about somebody. That will kill them. That will destroy their image. Destroy their life. So Peter says, get rid of all these things. Why? Why they should get rid of these things? What is the reason why, as a growing Christian, they should get rid of these evil? Of course, basically to grow, okay, but what is the next reason? What is the real, I believe because Apostle Peter continuing the same goal. With these things, we cannot love sincere love. When there is evil in our hearts, we cannot love one another. Why we are not able to love one another? Why we are not able to smile? Why we are not able to deal with others in a joyful manner? Why we are so serious? Why we are always so hard on other people? Why we are not able to open our hearts? Because you should understand. I should understand. You all have the capacity to understand the mind of one another. Even as a man, and much more as a born again child of God. We can understand the way they stand, the way they meet, the way they look, the way they show their hands with their body language. We can understand what is their mood. You can understand what is my mood. We cannot deceive others. Why we are not able to relate with others in a joyful manner? Why we are not able to show our love to others? Why do we fail to express love? I don't know. Peter saying, maybe evil in your heart, evil in your mind. As we have already seen, we are not clean, we are not pure, we are not right with God. There is evil, evil thoughts, evil intentions, evil ideas in our heart. Our heart is not clear. So, we don't deal with people sincere. We don't love. And the people are going away from us. Nobody is coming forward. They're going away from us because they judge us from the heart. We need to lay aside only. We need to clean our hearts. We need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, clean me. Cleanse me. Wash me. So the Apostle Peter says, you should do this second thing. Get rid of all evil so that your love will be sincere, fervent, that will come from pure heart. The pure heart is a powerful heart. A pure heart is a loving heart. A pure heart, anybody can detect it. And God will honor it. And God will bless it. A pure heart. Love from a pure heart. Now the first thing what they should do, verse 2, desire as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Desire the pure milk of the word. See, earlier in 23 to 25, he spoke about the word of God. The word of God that gave the new life. Now he says that you need to desire that same word again. You should have a, it's not only desire, it's a craving. Craving. It's written there as newborn babes. Newborn babes means you have seen newborn babe. No one has to teach that boy, that child to cry. That child will cry on its himself. He will cry. That is the natural response or reaction of a living child. If the child is not crying, something problem. So a born again child has gone. This one, longing, should have a craving for milk, the word of God. Now Peter says that the word of God is milk for us to grow. Earlier he said the word of God is seed which has life. The word of God has life. The word of God has the ability to sustain that life. We need to desire it. We need to, you know, crave for it or long for it. Do we have such desire? Now, what is the reason why many Christians are not longing for the word of God? Don't think it's only because they are busy. It's busy. It's true. They are busy. Even busy people can also read the word of God. I know that when, you know, many believers, they carry a New Testament. And there are some others who nowadays they have all the facilities. They have MP3 player and this thing and that thing through which they can listen to God's word or read the word of God. Somehow they can listen to the word of God. So busyness is not the answer. There are many, I don't say so many, but there are, of course, again, many, not desire for the word. They are satisfied by coming on Sunday, spending 2 hours saying Amen, fulfilling the worship meeting, and participate from the Lord's table, and even offering also. But that's all. Why nowadays, among the believers, many do not have an appetite for the word of God? Why that appetite is lost? As newborn babes? Now we all know that if a child doesn't take milk, is not interested in food, parents are worried, oh, our child is not eating today. Not even child. You are 15-year-old boy or 20-year-old boy. Anybody, if they don't take food properly, parents are worried. Oh, our child doesn't take food. Go to the doctor. What doctor will say? Normally, if you take a child to the doctor, the doctor, she doesn't take milk, she's not interested to have any feeding at all, then the doctor will say, maybe worms inside. What happened? Worms inside. So Apostle Peter said the same thing. Earlier he said that. Before you can pray for the word of God, before you will have a longing for the word of God, you need to get rid of the evil things. The evil things, these evil things, deceit, hypocrisy, or all the malice, envy, and evil speaking, such things, taking away the interest for the word of God. That's why in between I told you, what is the reason why we are not able to relate with others? What is the reason why we lose our desire for the word of God? Our own Bible studies in the assembly show that many are not interested to study the word of God. Because I cannot judge anybody. But the word of God, Apostle Peter, lay aside. Laying aside old malice, then naturally the longing will come, the craving will come for the word of God. So we need to examine our heart. Do we have a longing for the word of God? Now one more reason he says there. Why should we desire for the word of God? What should force us to long for the word of God? He gives one of the reasons. That is the end of verse. That is verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tasted. Now you need to drink. You know that tasting is one thing, drinking is the old stationary period. You taste something. That is not eating. Tasting is one thing. Eating is, what is the best thing? Tasting or eating? Taste it, okay, good. Then you shall have it plenty. So Apostle Peter says, whatever experience you have so far, only a taste. You have only tasted the Lord. You have come to the Lord. You have been purified, born again. You have a new life. You have everything. But it's only a taste. Much more is there in the word of God. Long for it. Desire it. Much more is there. You have only tasted little bit. Much more is there. You should desire the word of God. Long for it and spend time in studying, reading, meditating.